Arch, I will say, good evening. Good evening. It's amazing when you put out that first challenge is at 8:30. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. All right, I will say, so let's begin. So I want to share with you a beautiful idea. Interestingly enough, this Yisod is not, Rabbi Nachman brings it down on the Kuti Halachas based on the particular pasuk from the Parsha, but as you're going to see, as opposed to a lot of the things we normally learn week in and week out, which are directly related to the Parsha, this isn't as much related to the Parsha itself, as much as I just thought it's an incredible Yisod, an incredible idea that I think you're going to find amazing as well. So let's begin. It's in paragraph A. So the pasuk that the Rebbe is commenting on over here, although again it doesn't really turn into that much of a vart on the Parsha, so a vart on the Parsha you're not going to get tonight, but a vart in life you absolutely will get tonight. So look what the Rebbe says. V'yancha v'yarivecha v'yachilcha es haman ulamano sosecha. So remember again, this is Chumash Devarim. Chumash Devarim, in general, is Moshe Rabbeinu just simply recounting everything that occurred over the last 40 years. It's a total review. But Chumash Devarim doesn't contain all that much. There's definitely new mitzvos, but the essence of Chumash Devarim is a review of the last 40 years. And for a variety of reasons. Klal Yisrael gets a history review, an opportunity to review mitzvos, a variety of different reasons, but that's the essence. So in this pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'yancha v'arivecha v'achilcha es haman asher lo yodu, lo yadatu v'lo yodu avosecha, l'man odiyacha ki lo alechem levadu yichya adam, so remember again, so the pasuk ultimately saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the man, and ultimately again it was through the man that he taught us the incredible idea, lo alalechem levado yichya adam, man does not live by bread alone, but rather ultimately again man is sustained by the Ribono Shel Olam. So writes the Rebbe so beautifully, paragraph A, misha rotze liskos lechayim nitzchim. If a person wants to go ahead and achieve some level of eternal life, a person has to achieve a level, ultimately, again, of emuna. So the Rebbe says, "V'le emuna." So we'll say, so what's emuna? You know, we spend every morning at 5:45 speaking about what emuna is. So on the most basic level, we speak about emuna. To borrow from the Gan Emuna, the three primary principles of emuna is, number one, that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. Number two, that everything that comes from him, everything that occurs in life comes from him. Number three, that everything is for good, everything is for good. And number four, that everything that happens somehow is directed to helping me actualize my shlichus in life, helping me ultimately actualize my mission. These are the tenets, ultimately, again, of emunah. So the Rebbe says that if somebody wants to live an eternal, what we call an eternal life, a life that has eternality to it. Ah, Meir, mamish. This is just like back like TA flashbacks over here. You know, that's
for the Rebbe.
Yeah. So, is there an extra sheet down there?
Yeah.
That's true. Perfect. So just like, so the idea over here is that in order to have, so the Rebbe says that in order to go ahead and have a life of nitzchius, which means a life that is not just temporal, but a life that has some eternality to it, person has to have emuna. V'le emuna zochin al yedei emes. Now, Bo said, this is very profound. So how does one achieve emuna? How does one reach the level of emuna? So the Rebbe posits, you only achieve emuna through emes. What does that mean? He says, v'le emuna zochin al yedei emes. Bebchinas tzedek ki eschabros be'emes. Hainu. So the Rebbe here says something amazing. He says the golden life, if a Jew wants to be blessed, wants to have a life that is endowed with some level of eternality, so I need emuna. I need belief. Everything in life comes from emuna HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you achieve emuna? So the Rebbe suggests you achieve emuna through an understanding of what is MS. You have to have MS means that I have clarity of vision in life to know what is right and to know what is wrong. That's what MS is. We often translate MS as truth. But the real Yisod, says Rabbi Nachman, is MS is clarity of vision. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. I know what is correct. I know what is incorrect. I know what I should be doing. I know what I shouldn't be doing. I know the derech I should take. I know the derech I should avoid. Person wants to achieve a level of emunah in life The pathway to Emuna begins with MS, begins with clarity of vision. Rishon Lezion say is an incredible yisod, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, the Ribono Shel Olam is my partner in order to actualize my life mission. But in order to actualize that partnership, I have to understand where I'm going, what I'm doing, what's my clarity. Do I possess that clarity of vision? That's MS. Paragraph B. Ki etzem ha-MS bevadai yafshar lahasig b'day tapchusa. So Rosemary, here's the challenge. To understand real MS, sometimes we're unable to do so in our limited human capacity. Adrabo, nidmelo lehepech, machmas shohu mishuka b'ta'avosav u'ba'olam hazeh u'b'chavod v'nitzachon kolkach. So Rosemary, here's the problem. The problem is, so now I want to go ahead and I want to reach MS. I want to have clarity of vision. I want to understand what I'm supposed to do in this world, how I'm supposed to accomplish it. Because ultimately, in order to come to Emunah, you have to have MS. We'll say, I can't, we're going to focus on this a lot, but I can't emphasize enough the profundity of what Rabbi Nachman is saying. We often think that Emunah is the first step, but in fact, that's not true. Emunah ultimately, again, is the result of first possessing MS. When you possess a sense of MS, life clarity, then you're able to go down the road ultimately of actualizing Emunah. So the Rebbe says, look at paragraph B again. Ki etzem ha-MS. Bevadi efshar lahasig b'day tapchusa. We'll say the problem is understanding what is MS is very difficult. Adrabba, nitmelo lehefech. So we'll say sometimes, what's the great challenge in life? The great challenge in life is, I think I know what MS is, right? I think I know what MS is. I've got it all figured out. Here's the problem. You think you know what MS is. I think I know what MS is. And here's the bigger problem. How come my MS doesn't look like your MS, and your MS doesn't look like that's what's MS? Everybody has their own MS. Why is that, says the Rebbe? And not only that, by the way, but to make it even more severe, is that sometimes, Rabosai, sometimes even that which is unequivocally wrong, I convince myself that it is MS. Even that which is inappropriate, even that which is incorrect, somehow I'm able to convince myself that in fact it's appropriate, and ultimately again that it is MS. We'll say, what's the pshat? We'll say, you ever wonder about this? Meaning, I find myself often confronted with this reality, because we live in a world with so many different opinions, and we live in a world with so many different hashgafas. And how could it be? And I'll give you just a simple example. Let's say, you know, I'm sure you follow the news in Eretz Yisrael. So you see that yesterday in Yerushalayim, or today in Yerushalayim, there was the Pride Parade. So, you know, even there, you have, interestingly enough, obviously the community has to be open to everyone. Is this the right kind of event to have? Not the right kind of event to have? Again, all different opinions. You see 35 Haredim were arrested yesterday, you know, because they were staging an anti-draft protest. And you wonder to yourself, they're being guided by Rabbanim. And you wonder, really? Is that the MS? To go out, to sit in traffic, and mamish, be an inconvenience for Gans Klal Yisrael, because of your, is that correct? And then the police spray them with the skunk spray, and the stuff gets crazy. It's not fun, right? These hafganot are crazy. And you wonder to yourself, the people who go into it clearly feel that they're on the side of MS. The people who disperse it clearly feel they're on the side. So this is the difficult part in life. We're all going towards the same thing, which is Emunah. I recognize that the prerequisite for Emunah is MS, but yet I'm trying to figure out, so what's the MS? So what's the MS in life? So how could it be that you put two people, especially two Jews in the room, and they come out with two dramatically different versions of MS?
Three.
What? I'm sorry?
Three versions.
I'm trying to be nice. Right? Two versions, right? At least two versions of MS. Well, say, this is like a fundamental life shaila. So what's the pshat? How come there are so many different versions of MS? So look what the Rebbe says. He says, very simple. Shumashuka b'tavosav uba'olam hazeh. Ubekavod v'nitzachon kolkach. So let's see, because the reality is, most of us have skewed vision. What does this mean, Rav Hosai? You see, I'll give you a mashlamah d'avad d'omeh. You know, Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch says, the Medrash says, that why did Bnei Yisrael build the eagle? You know, they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was gone. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. They built the golden calf. So everyone wonder to yourself, like, what is the correlation between those two events? Okay, I understand you think Moshe Rabbeinu is dead. You think that it throws you into a panic. I understand that. I understand that. So tell me where you take the leap from that to building a golden calf. You want to go ahead and scream out in hysteria. You want to appoint a new leader in Moshe Rabbeinu's stead. You want to say, Aaron, you take the reins. You want to go ahead and build an altar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I got it. Where do you come to building a golden calf? So what's the pshat? So the Medrash says, Klal Yisrael never believed in the calf. Rather, what did they want? They wanted arayos. They wanted immorality. So, but you know, Bosef, the problem is, no one ever wants to go ahead and live on the wrong side of the law. So what happens if there's something you want very badly, but the law doesn't permit it? What do? You change the law. By the way, this is contemporary in our culture now. That's why moral norms constantly change. Because ultimately, again, there's no immutable morality. There's nothing. So it changes. Whatever anybody feels, whatever the contemporary ism is, that's what will dictate everything else. So the Medrash says, Klal Yisrael never believed in the Egel. They wanted immorality. But here's the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Even when we sin, we want to be tzaddikim. You see, I want to sin, but I don't want to be a rasha. I want to sin, I want to do whatever I want, but I want to be a tzaddik. Right? We'll say, by the way, you understand the beauty in that? I could be prostitute, I'll just be a rasha. No. A Jew is halig even when he sins. See, when I'm going to engage in whatever it is I'm going to engage in, I need to find a way to still be a tzaddik. So what did Klal Yisrael do? They built the eagle. Because the eagle said you can do whatever you want. And guess what? You're still a tzaddik because it's a brand new system. So Rav Hirsch says, you know, here lies the distinction between idolatry and monotheism. What's the distinction? You see, in Yiddishkeit, we make ourselves in God's image. In idolatry and Avodah Zarah, you make God in your image. You decide what you want to do, and then you build the system around that. The Rebbe says something amazing. Everyone, all of us, are on the same quest for MS. Rebbe says, here's the problem. That many of us engage in this endeavor to find MS, and we go in with gaiva-colored glasses. In other words, that I already know the truths. I already know the MS. And very often what we try to do, Rebbe says, is we try to fit the world's MS into my view of MS. Furthermore, we go in with our own ego. We go in with our own wants. We go in with our own predispositions, our own proclivities, our own ideas. And very often, Rabbi say, our minds are not actually open to seeing the real MS. Our minds are often confined by the realities that we have imposed upon them, by the ideas that we have imposed upon them, by the mindsets that we have imposed upon them. And the Rebbe says, he goes on, furthermore, there's another piece, which is where Meshuka Betavosav. We'll say, when a person is Meshuka Betavosav, that means I'm up to my neck in my taivis in life. I'm up to my neck in my desires. Everybody is Meshuka, right? Not Meshuga, by the way. Meshuka, which means immersed, right? Meshuka means crazy, Meshuka. But same idea, which is I'm Meshuka or Meshuga with taivis. So we'll say, the truth is, all of us struggle with some type of taiva. So some of us struggle, ultimately, again, with immorality / morality. Some of us struggle with money. Some of us struggle with gashmias. Some of us struggle with ethics. Klal Gadol is everyone has a struggle with their taivas. So says Rabbi Nachman so incredibly profoundly that when you are mishuka in your taivas, when I'm ultimately immersed in my wants and desires in this world, I can't see MS. I can't see MS. My vision is blurred by the taivas I have, and I can't see MS for what it is. But the Rebbe says, but here's the good news. Ach, im yate daito el ha-MS la-amito, v'yachzer ponav k'tsas mitaivas olam hazeh, turn the page, v'yosim libo be-MS lachshov al tachliso ha-nitzchi, Rabosai, but here's the idea. If I identify what my taivas are. If I identify, what are those things, Rabbi Osai? And when we say taivas, by the way, you know, I want to point something out. A taiva, when we think about a taiva, we think about something like carnal or illicit. A taiva could be anything that holds you back. We all have taivas. We all have things. See, again, Rabbi Osai, sometimes I have a taiva to be friends with certain people who are just a bad influence on me. That's a taiva. Sometimes I have a taiva to be in places that are bad for me. I'm not necessarily doing anything bad, but I have a taiva to be in places or circumstances that are objectively bad for me. I have a taiva to engage in behaviors that are not good for me. So says Rebbe, now here's the amazing Bible. So you see, what do we often think? We often think to ourselves, you know what? As long as I'm not doing anything bad, then it's okay. It's okay. So we'll say, but the Rebbe says, it's not true. Because ultimately, again, when you're mishuka b'ta'avosav, if I'm allowing myself to be influenced by the wrong types of influences, I may not be sinning, but what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm fundamentally altering my vision so that I am unable to see true MS in this world. I am unable to see MS for what it is. I'm only able to see my skewed version of MS. So the Rebbe goes on. He says, but if a person chooses to distance himself from his taivas, person chooses to identify those desires, those proclivities, those things which hold me back, those things which shackle me to my present mediocrity, and I decide ultimately again to let go of them. Paragraph C. V'yosim libo be'emes lachshov al tachlis sohanitzchi, and I begin to really think about my life, to think about myself, to think about what I'm going to do. Yor Hashem Eino of HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminates my eyes. V'yire v'yovin heichana emes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow me to see where the emes is. Ki emuna hu rak b'mash she'ino mevin. Because I will say, to get to emuna, remember again, what does emuna mean? Emuna refers to those things which you don't really understand. The Rebbe says, for one simple reason, ki mash she'mevin b'dayto ein ze emuna. So you will say, I don't have to believe in gravity. Why not? Why not? It's a reality. I'm saying, I experience it. There's no, well, say, I'll give you, by the way, I mentioned this before. You know, well, let's finish this piece. He says, Ach Hashem imke mehechon yavo le'emuna, Ach Hashem yisbarach, merachim al amo, umeir li Yisrael darchei ha'emuna, ba'ofen sheyesh lem koach livchor ba'emes ve'emunem yirtzu. So we'll say, so what happens? So the Rebbe says an incredible, so first of all, this Yisod about emuna, we'll say, which I'll tell you, you know, they have all of these like incredible, I mentioned this before, I think, they have all of these incredible, you know, seminars and books and shiurim, proving the existence of God and proving, so I'll tell you, the truth is, I've never been to them. I'm sure they're very compelling, but I think it misses something fundamental in the realm of emuna, that part of the beauty of emuna is that you can't prove it. Part of the beauty of emuna is that it's not an empirical formula that you could demonstrate its validity. Part of the beauty of emuna is exactly, I'll give you la havdil alef alfei rivei avdalos. Mamish, you ever see, there was a movie, Indiana Jones and the Search for the Holy Grail, right? Do you ever see this movie?
Yeah.
I want to see. I saw it on the way to Eretz Yisrael. So I hold. You can watch movies on the way to Eretz Yisrael because it's like avoda. You know, it's all. Sorry,
it's a holy movie.
I'm assuming that whatever they show on the way to Eretz Yisrael is blessed. That's on Elal. You know, it's so this is an old movie, right? So to me, I saw it as a kid. There was one scene there which I thought was so profound. So he's looking for the Grail of Yashka, and he's an archaeologist. So Mamish, everything is about science and this and that. He gets this last piece, and the thing between him and the Holy Grail, I forgot what it called, something like the bridge of belief or something like that.
Faith.
The bridge of faith, walk of faith.
Walk of
faith. Walk of faith. Good. Baruch Hashem. Walk of faith.
And
Same flight. And Mamish, like, it was such an incredible muster, because what does he have to do? He has to walk on this invisible bridge. You can't see it. You can't see it. And you just have to put your foot down and you have to believe that something's going to be there. And to me, this was such an incredible muster, because he was not a man of faith. He was not a man of faith. So literally, again, what was dividing between him and the Grail? Faith. And what does faith mean? To put your foot down and not see any bridge below it, but believe that it's there. That's as Rabbi Nachman as emuna. But here's the amazing part. So now you begin to put this all together. So emuna is not concerning those things that I could understand, those things that I could see. Like I was saying, I'll give you an example. You don't have to have emuna about the nitzchias, the eternality of Klal Yisrael. Why do you not have to have emuna about the nitzchias of Klal Yisrael? Why? Right? Because we're sitting here eating chalent, right, in the Ehrenfeld home on a Thursday night, 2,000 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, after pogroms, crusades, Holocaust, suicide, we're here. It's not only emuna, I see it with my own eyes. You need emuna, we'll say, for those things that you can't demonstrate, for those things that you can't prove. So how do I get that? So Rabbi Nachman says, you're right. And we'll say, this is an incredible yisod. You can't develop emuna on your own. I need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to help me develop emuna. So Kodesh Baruch Hu does, says the Rebbe, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu shows me certain things. He opens my eyes to certain things. And he allows me to see things and experience things. Rabbi said, but I want to be clear. Those things are not unequivocally from God. In other words, I see Kodesh Baruch Hu allows me to see things, and he gives me a choice. I have Bechira as to how to interpret it. I can somehow interpret it through the lens of the natural world, or I can go ahead and choose to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me on this incredible journey of Emunah. Rabbi say, there's more that the Rebbe says, but I'm going to stop here just to kind of bring this all together. So when it comes to Emunah, I can't do it on my own. I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tell me, so remember, what's my goal? We all have the same goal, Rabbi say. Our goal is Emunah. Everything is about emuna. Because when you have emuna in the Ribbon Shalom, it opens up everything else. When you have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can have emuna in yourself. When you have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can have emuna in the other. When you have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you figure out, I'm here on a shlichus. You see, I want to be clear. It's not just the Chabadniks who are out on shlichus. You know, everybody thinks it's just Chabad who's on shlichus. All of us are on shlichus. Each of us has a shlichus. Okay, I might not be running a minion in the Barbados, which actually sounds nice. Right? I would take that job. Right? But again, Lamaisu, all the shlichus. Say, how do you discover your shlichus? That all comes from emuna. But how do I get to emuna? And here's the problem. Not only how do I get to emuna, how can I possibly believe in something that I can't utilize my intellect for? So the Rebbe says, that's okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me develop emuna by showing me things, and then I have the choice how to process it. So what's my part in the process of emuna? I'll say, my part is the cultivation of emes. That's my role in the emuna process. My role is to create a clarity of vision, to create for myself a life that is guided by Torah Hashkafa, to make sure that my opinions, my views, my decisions are not informed or based on my own gaiva, ego, isms, predispositions, but that the decisions I make in life are rooted in emes, are rooted in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. When I cultivate a sense of emes, Rabbi Osai, then I pave the road to get to emuna. And when I pave the road to get to emuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me ultimately actualize that. But Rabbi Osai, what the Rebbe teaches us is something amazing. But how do you actualize your emes? How do you find emes in life? So there are many different parts to this. But the Rebbe says the first and primary part is identify the things that are holding you back. Let them go. Divest yourself of them. Because while I'm still holding on to what the Rebbe calls the taivas, which are the things that are actively holding me back from growth in life, my vision is blurred. I can't see the world as it was. And I will say, we know this from our own lives, because we've all had circumstances where we've made bad decisions. I don't mean decisions where it turns out it was the wrong decision, but I made the best decision I could at the time with the information I had. I mean, I'm sure all of us have made objectively bad decisions. And I think when you do a cheshbon ha-nefesh, I can only speak for myself, when you do a cheshbon ha-nefesh and you identify that bad decision you made, and you try to understand why you made it, more often than not, I wasn't in a good place in life. More often than not, I was meshuka, not meshuga, Mishuka bitava. I was a bal taiva, right? I was embedded in taiva. And because of that, it obscured my vision. And because it obscured my vision, I wasn't able to see the MS. And because I wasn't able to see the MS, I wasn't able to make the right decisions. And I will say, because of that, I have yet to reach the destination of emunah. And I think the Rebbe is teaching us this incredibly powerful yisod. The Rebbe said the first step, and this I think, you know, this is Shabbos Mevarchim Elul. It's amazing. We were just talking about this on the way up the driveway, right? It's an amazing thing. Rebbe said, Yom Noram are here. It's amazing. We're all, you know, we're going to go on vacation. For us, summer's not over. This is part of Galus, by the way. But ultimately, again, you know, our lives are not directed by Elul, our lives are directed by, hey, it's still August. As long as it's August, right, I'm not thinking about my soul for sure until Labor Day, right? That's the way it works. Summertime is for relaxing. I begin Shuvah Labor Day. That's the case. I stop wearing white and I go ahead and I start thinking about my soul. That's the way it works. So what I will say, but the reality is we don't have that luxury. We don't have that luxury. And it's this time of year when we have to begin, not clapping achetz. That's not what it's about. See, that's what everyone associates. Shuvah, I'm sorry, I'm so horrible. I'm terrible, I'm this. No, that's not what shuvah is about to say. That's actually not positive shuvah. We'll talk about that in later shiurim. Mm-hmm. The first step of shuvah, say, the first step of return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to say to myself that my vision is obscured. I have to check my prescription because I don't think I really see what's MS in life. I just don't think I see what's MS. Then I ask myself, why is my vision blurred? And I will say, the reality is because I'm mishuka b'tavosav. I will say, each of us have taivas that are holding us back. Our taivas are like a shackle that keep us rooted in our present mediocrity. The first step of personal growth, Rabbi Osei, is not anything you do, but it's identifying the factors that hold me back. And once I identify them, I could say, you know what? I'm letting them go. Because I will say, no taiva is worth the loss of MS. Because with the loss of MS comes the loss of Emuna. And with the loss of Emuna comes a loss of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and really, a loss of relationship with myself. So really, as we come into Shabbos Mevarchim El Rabosai and our Avodah, for Yomim Noraim begins, the Rebbe suggests, our Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman suggests, that the first step is identify the taivas that are holding you back. Identify, when I say taivas, I don't mean carnal desires, that might be part of it for some of us, but identify the things, it could be the feelings, it could be the resentments, it could be the anger, it could be the actions, it could be the friends, it could be the situations, it could be a variety of different things, or all of the above. Identify them, and understand, and I will say the corollary to that is, after you've identified them, understand, you don't know what the MS is. So I will say, people walk around all day preaching the MS, and they have no idea what they're talking about. Why? Because they can't see MS. Because as long as you're shackled by something, you don't see MS. You see your version of MS, you see your somewhat skewed MS, but you don't see MS. If you want MS in life, which is what we all want, because it's the prerequisite to Emunah, step number one is identify the things that are holding us back and find the courage ultimately to let them go.
Sure. Thank you. All right, yeah.
It's always like that's the catch 22.